ADHD post-diagnostic workshop, and this is session one, where we'll just go through sort of our introduction to the workshop, what to expect, and just a bit about ADHD as well. Okay. So just some group expectations, and we do generally go through these every week, just in case we have people dropping in and out of the sessions. So confidentiality, you know, please don't share, discuss with people outside the group, personal matters disclosed by group members. Having your camera on, off, that's, you know, that's optional. It's totally up to you. It's nice to see people's faces. I'm not just talking to myself, or that's what it feels like. Again, speaking is optional. There is the chat function there available as well. Generally speaking, have your microphone muted when we're going through the presentation. You know, there is the hand up function if you, you know, if you desperately want to say something or comment on anything that we're discussing. And then, like I say, there is the chat function as well. Generally, you know, try to keep the chat pleasant and relevant to topic. You know, I'm aware this sometimes can go off topic, but please don't be offended if, you know, I say, right, we need to stop the conversation there and move on to the next topic. And again, please don't share the link to the group with anyone else, and please don't record the session. And you will be sent copies of the presentation slides after the session, which will probably be tomorrow, really. And again, just some pictures there at the bottom. Bit of understanding. I'm guessing we're all okay with Teams because we've all managed to join. But again, just some functions there, just in case you're not used to it. You've got the Teams bar along the top of your screen. Again, you should have a camera function. Click on that, that's on or off. Same for the mute. And the hand up button is just like a hand, says raise. And then the chat function, like a little message, or might say chat as well underneath it. Okay. So we just say meet the presenters, but as this is an evening workshop, it's just myself. No one else fancied giving up an hour and a half of the evening. So it is just myself, so please bear with me, because I'm in charge of letting people into the room, as well as answering chat, as well as everything else that goes on with the presentation, presenting and moving the slides along. So just bear with. And again, just a disclaimer, I am at home. So obviously, hopefully no one's coming in and out of the room, but I am using my headphones, so no one can hear anything, you know, if you are talking on camera. So yeah, I have told everybody to stay out the room so they know what's going on, but yeah, we all know what it's like living at home, working from home. So the aim of the workshop, you know, you might have already have some ideas of what's going on. Generally, it's to help you learn more about your diagnosis and ways you can manage any difficulties you're experiencing. To give yourself new ways to think about mental health, self-acceptance, identity and recovery. Provide some reassurance that you're not alone, and an opportunity to feel heard. Like I say, generally it is a case of having your microphones on mute, but there is opportunities to discuss what's going on, and obviously got the chat function as well. Also tomorrow, with the slides, I will send out a workbook that we'll use along the way as well. And that has different activities in there that we might discuss during the sessions, or they might be for after session activities for you to have a go at. And again, it's a workbook that, you know, you don't have to do anything with it. You don't even have to look at it if you don't want to. It's not, no pressure there to fill that in. If you feel confident enough to type in the chat, how are you feeling about the workshop? Is there any expectations that you've got from the workshop? What you're hoping to learn? Do you have any goals that you want to work on? That type of thing. Feel free to put those in the chat. You know, if you're just unsure, you've got, you know, you're not really sure what to expect, and that's okay as well. You know, no right or wrong way to feel about this workshop. Yeah, open to all suggestions. So yeah, that's good. I like the sound of that, Kate, being open to different things. And next year, open to learning new things that might help, definitely, yeah. And probably the biggest thing that in feedback that we get from group situations is that, you know, you're in a safe space with other people that may be experiencing the same things as you. You know, we mentioned not feeling alone. And it's always nice to know that other people are experiencing maybe some of the same difficulties that you might be. And it's also great to sort of get other people's ideas and things that they might be using, strategies they're using for different things. So yeah, develop deeper into ADHD and how it can make you all your superpower. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, to understand why I am the way I am and handling my emotions better. Yeah, we definitely discussed that along the way. Can be quite very emotional when doing these things. Yeah. So yeah, we will talk about some of those things as well, some in different weeks to come. So yeah, so group situations, some people do find these difficult. Groups aren't for everybody, so you know, I do appreciate you coming along. And it's okay, you know, to ask for those reasonable adjustments, you know. That's why we say having camera off on or off is optional. Using strategies that help you process information. So, you know, if you've got your fidget toys there, you know, please feel free if you need to get up and walk around and that kind of thing, if that's what you need. And again, you don't have to chat, you don't have to put anything. You just want to listen. That's also fine as well. So the workshop itself runs over 11 sessions, so on the same day and the same time each week. So there's just a list of every week's session that we've got there. Sessions are made up of psychoeducation, discussions, signposting, exploring resources, and some practical skills. You know, we try to do as best to try and cover as much as we can within the workshop. But also that does mean we might discuss some things that might be difficult for yourself, also difficult to understand. Sometimes it's hard to where to pitch some of these workshops. So if there is anything that you know, you're finding difficult to understand or interpret, then either put that in the chat or send me an email privately and we can have that discussion around anything you might be finding difficult. We recognise that ADHD is a combination of different subtypes and abilities. You know, so just trying to get content right is can be difficult. And we have tried to include a variety of resources, so discussion points, videos, things like that. You can bring friends and family along with you if you want to. If they want to watch the sessions, that's entirely up to you as well. Obviously, just with your link. And we also ask, you know, just that they don't join independently, just if they're with you. Oh, sorry about that, guys. So the sessions are run from 6 till 7:30, there or thereabouts. It's just an estimate of time. Some sessions might be a little bit shorter. But we won't run over the hour and a half. We understand trying to focus for that long is difficult for many people, and this is why we have breaks throughout as well. But typically in a session, we cover a topic and have a break, then cover another topic and have another break. But we can see how we go with that. Sometimes we get through quite a bit of the content quite quickly, and breaks aren't needed, but we'll see how we get. But as I said, please take breaks as and when you need them. Yeah, so like I say, if you're struggling to understand any of the content or the work activities that I'll send out tomorrow, please do let us know and we'll support wherever we can. The email address is there. Hopefully most of you have already got the email address. And that's the one I've sent the links to as well, the links from, so just respond to any of those emails if you struggle finding it. And please note that if you feel that your mental health is deteriorating, you do need to contact your mental health team or the After Hours Crisis team. So like I say, there is a workbook along with this workshop. Wherever you see this symbol, the book, that's where there'll be an activity. And we do encourage you to make use of the workbook as you go along to help you reflect and apply what you're learning. But again, like I say, it's not something that is forced upon. It's entirely up to you if you do want to do that. We don't expect you to read all the books and the literature that we suggest either. Again, they are just suggestions for you if you want to read any of those or watch any of the after session videos as well. So like I say, learning from each other, it has been developed using clinical knowledge, personal experiences and expertise. We don't and cannot know everything, but we have tried to provide a broad range of relevant themes and alternative viewpoints from the research literature covering several different disciplines and shared experiences. The literature of disciplines we draw from, such as occupational therapies, mental health literature, social psychology, neurodevelopmental research, psychiatry, neuroscience, lots of different disciplines that we've taken this information from. Just let me just check on the chat. If you want to understand, yeah, it would be interested to know what other people have experienced in finding about meditation being like. If that's the route you've gone down, it's been really tricky. Yeah, maybe towards the end of the session, I would perhaps open the discussion up and, you know, if people want to discuss anything like that. Again, another disclosure, I'm not medically trained, so medication is not my forte. That's either the prescriber or the doctor, if you have any specific queries around medication. So, yeah. That's fine, Kate. Yeah, twin. Yeah, like I say, it's difficult doing these things from home. Yeah, I haven't sent the workbook out yet, Nick. Sorry about that. It will be sent tomorrow. So this is fun facts, and generally speaking, this is what we'll do at break times. So generally, we'll have an animal facts theme. Throughout the workshop, during the breaks, we have usual interesting facts on animals. And again, it's just a fun thing to do. There's some questions on the screen there. I don't know if anybody wants to go at any of them. Put the answers in the chat if you want to. This is another example of where we might have a break. But we've only been running for 15 minutes, so I'm guessing nobody's ready for a break just yet. So we'll go through a few more of the slides. Not specifically Jenny, we do touch on eating down the line, a few weeks down the line, but generally not specific. That might be something that you might want to contact me to have a discussion separately about that if you want to. Yeah. I think Martin was answering perhaps Kelly's question there about medication, maybe. Yeah. Just so I'm not keeping in suspense. What is the cause of power cuts in the USA? So bearing in mind, these all are animal animal sort of themed. Yeah. Number one, yeah. So squirrels is the answer to number one, believe it or not. They cause the most power cuts in America. Well done there, Kate. What animal's fingerprints are nearly indistinguishable from human fingerprints? You had to go there, Maddie. It's the main thing. Oh, we've got chimp. Ooh. That one's a koala, number two is. And the tongue of a blue whale weighs about the same as which animal?
Elephant.
Tongue of a blue whale. A rhino. Ooh, yeah, good. Good guess there, Kate. Yeah, Martin, you're right, it's an elephant. So yeah, massive tongue and a blue whale then. So today's session then, that draws an end to sort of like the introduction to the workshop. So we'll talk a little bit about neurodivergence and develop your understanding of ADHD. Develop your understanding of ADHD, of ADHD and ADHD. Again, that's just a quick going over that. Sometimes these sessions are aimed at autism and ADHD. So sometimes there is a bit of a crossover, but where there is, it is beneficial to people with ADHD and autism as well. And looking at coming to terms with your diagnosis. Okay, so just on the screen there, you'll see some terminology, some that you might be familiar with. There are some neurodiversity terms to know, which neurodiversity, neurodivergence. They are, you know, variation of differences in neurological structure and function that exist among human beings. As a term refers to the idea that differences in the brain, development and behaviour are normal and not a result of mental disorders. This idea suggests that conditions such as autism and ADHD are normal variations and not disorders that negatively impact the brain. Neurodivergent is a non-medical term used to refer to people who have a neurodevelopmental condition, such as autism, dyslexia and ADHD. And a person with one of these conditions is simply different or divergent. And then on the other side, we've got neurotypical and neurodiverse, commonly used by supporters of neurodiversity to describe a person who shows typical neurological behaviour and development. So sometimes they also refer as holistics as well. Neurodiverse, that refers to a group of people with different brains. So example of a neurodiverse group of friends would be made up of people who are neurotypical and neurodivergent. If you have any questions, just pop them in the chat. Yeah, you use neurotypical a lot. Yeah. And, you know, understanding of neurodivergent people, you know, that is getting better, I think. Definitely needs improving, but I think we are getting better with the help of probably social media, really. So ADHD, it's not a deficit despite its name. People with ADHD think different and process information differently. And they're also not, they also do not have a deficit of attention despite the name. They have attention. And it can just be difficult to direct it in the right place. There's a neurodevelopmental condition, affects development of the nervous system. And because it's a neurodevelopmental condition, people have ADHD from birth, and it's not something you develop over time. It affects how a person functions day to day. As people with ADHD display patterns of inattention and or hyperactivity. And like autism, people with ADHD may also experience senses differently. nothing wrong with having ADHD, but it can make people more vulnerable to developing mental health problems and needing support from mental health services as well. Yeah, so yeah, I love it already in the chat that you've got going on, asking each other questions. That's great. And again, just like autism, ADHD, there's a spectrum. As you can see, person A experiences their ADHD as having more internal hyperactivity and more differences in time perception, whereas person B experiences more difficulties with sensory and stimulation and has more external hyperactivity. And I don't know if sort of along your journeys, people might say high functioning or low functioning. And this is where this spectrum can sort of help with that understanding. Try to move away from high functioning and low functioning, because generally speaking, that people will have difficulties in different areas. So both of these people, A and B, you know, they both have ADHD. No two ADHDers are the same, and nobody is more or less ADHD than anybody else. And the way you experience your ADHD is valid. So just moving on to some ADHD subtypes. Got a diagnosis, so you probably will be diagnosed with one of these subtypes. So you've got inattentive, hyperactive, impulsive, and combined presentation. So if you've got a combined presentation, 50 to 75%. If enough symptoms of both criteria, inattentive and hyperactivity, impulsivity were present for the past 6 months. So this is sort of how it's diagnosed. Predominantly inattentive presentation, enough symptoms of inattention but not hyperactivity were present for the past 6 months. And predominantly hyperactive impulsive presentation, again, if enough symptoms of hyperactivity and impulsivity but not inattention were present for the last 6 months. So just some information there about the different subtypes. So just a little bit more information on inattentive. Main signs are having a short attention span and being easily distracted, making careless mistakes, feeling forgetful or losing things, being unable to stick to tasks that are tedious or time-consuming, appearing to be unable to listen to or carry out instructions, constantly changing activity or tasks, or having a difficulty organising tasks. Any of those sound familiar to anybody? I think more women tend to get diagnosed with inattentive. Probably mask these symptoms within everyday sort of life as well. Marty, thanks for sharing that. So your combined type, yep. All good, under no pressure to immediately find work. Okay. Thinking of focusing on writing and trying to get some more novels out on. Very good. Sounds interesting. Yeah, but then, yeah, it's easy sometimes, soon you can relate with that. Yeah. Hopefully along the way we can sort of think of kind of strategies and things like that to sort of help with these as well. Moving on to hyperactive impulsive subtypes. So again, the main signs of hyperactivity and impulsiveness are being able to sit still, especially in calm or quiet surroundings, constantly fidgeting, being unable to concentrate on tasks, excessive physical movement, excessive talking, being unable to wait their turn, acting without thinking, interrupting conversations, and little or no sense of danger. Again, anybody relate to any of those? Yeah, I'm getting some nods. Drive your wife mad, fidgeting. Yeah. task initiation. Yeah, hopefully again we can come up with some strategies for those, Maddie. Always butting in, yeah. Does anybody ever come across, if you're talking really fast, you can get quite passionate when you're talking about things. Does anybody interpret that as anger or aggression when you're talking to them as well? Oh, right, yeah, internal hyperactivity, yeah, so racing thoughts. I often hear this explained as you've got multiple tabs open in your brain, multiple thoughts, multiple conversations going on in your brain, and it's hard then to sort of pin one thing down. Yeah, interrupting is real. Try so hard not to. Yeah. And is that because you just won't get your point across? Because, you know, working memory isn't the best, so you might forget what you want to say, so you've just got to say it right now. Yeah, rude for interrupting or rude because you're not listening. Yeah, definitely coming across as angry when you're passionate about something. Yeah. Do you ever apologise for that type of thing? Just out of curiosity. Someone says you're being aggressive. Do you ever apologise for it? This is predominantly why females are diagnosed more inattentive, because there's an assumption that hyperactivity is external only. Yeah. Spend ages waiting for the right spot, then you miss it. Yeah, that, knowing when to actually put your point across in a conversation can be difficult. Yeah, so we've got always apologising, not apologising anymore, so suggesting that you perhaps did used to apologise. Usually start now with, I talk a lot and very fast, so tell me to shut up. Yeah. And again, something else we will talk about later on during the sessions, you know, is about perhaps having that conversation with people who are around you, who you spend most time with, you know, setting boundaries, because I don't believe it's something that we should always apologise for when it is part of you. Yeah, I suppose it's difficult sometimes and how society expects us to behave and expects us to be. Just out of curiosity, has anybody watched the Netflix film I Swear? That's about a person with Tourette's. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good watch, actually. Yeah, it's on your to-do list. And again, he finds himself apologising all the time for something that's just naturally him. He can't help that. And then we move on to combined time. So this is the most common ADHD diagnosis. People with combined subtype display both inattentive and hyperactive signs of ADHD. And to fulfil the diagnostic criteria for ADHD, adults need to display 5 or more symptoms of inattentiveness. And I'm not sure, you know, when you had your diagnosis, was this type of thing explained to you? Was your diagnosis talked about? The different types and the type that you've been diagnosed with? Yeah, so ADHD and medication, and like I say, I'm not medically trained. It's important, you know, that you speak to either the nurse or the doctor about your medication if there is any questions about that or decisions you want to make about it. You might not be on medication and you might find that you do want to go on it, so again, it's just a case of emailing the team to have that discussion. The doctor or the nurse, generally you have to have your physical health checks. So special in ECG to make sure, you know, there's no heart problems. Most of the medication, what is given out is a stimulant. Again, the process, if some of you are newly diagnosed, you might still be waiting for your titration appointments. And again, it can be frustrating. You've waited a long time to get a diagnosis and then you have to wait again for the medication if that's what you want. But obviously we need to make sure that, you know, it's the right type of medication and risks are low. It may take time to find the right medication. That's why we titrate people. You know, we start at a low dose and work our way up. Again, you're not, no one knows what kind of side effects you might have from medication. And if you try something and you're not happy with it, again, that's okay. There are different types of medication. And if you want to try something else, again, just speak to the doctor or the nurse. And whilst medication can help, it is important to implement strategies to look after your well-being too. A lot of the time, you know, people when they get a diagnosis, they want the medication, they think it might fix everything. And again, if anyone's got any comments to make about medication, then, you know, put them in the chat. It's not something that can fix everything. I've heard people say that medication saves a life. Also, medication doesn't agree with everybody. Yeah, it does take forever to titrate up. Kate. Not in this workshop. We don't discuss ADHD and menopause. I have asked our librarian to get some research on that for me, because I think that is going to be quite a big topic, especially obviously as menopause can be a trigger for seeking a diagnosis. So yeah, we don't cover that in these workshops, but it is something that I'm hopefully going to get more information on. Yeah, Lisa, yeah, you see medication's giving your life back.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Joe, you find it wears off by 2, and you're back to where it was before. Is this a low dose? 20, yeah, 20, I think we start on 20. Don't quote me on that. But 20 is a low dose. Yeah, again, Martin, it's a bit of trial and error, isn't it, with the medication? Just find out what's right for you. And this is what we say, what's right for one person won't be right for another.
Yeah. What's the laughing one?
Again, you know, just an image there, two sides to every coin, so to speak. Just some things to think of there. Everybody's not the same. You might experience some of those things in the red. You might experience some of those things in the green, and then somewhere in the middle is yourself. Might look at these differently, depending on what context as well. You might see these as a strength, but you also might see them as a challenge. You know, earlier on, I think it was Maggie that said about it being a superpower. You know, and again, it just depends on what your take is. Okay, now I've got a short video here, so I'll play it. Hopefully you can hear it okay and everything. But let me know in the chat if you can't hear it.
Hi, I'm Jessica McCabe. I'm the creator and host of the YouTube channel How to ADHD, and I have ADHD. This is what I'd like to tell my younger self. Take your ADHD seriously, even if those around you don't, even if it seems like it's a joke and the way that it's portrayed in the media seems very silly and superficial. ADHD is affecting you in ways that you can't even imagine. It impacts every aspect of your life. And the reason why you're struggling, the reason why you're having trouble reaching your potential, the reason why you feel lazy or stupid or less than when you're not, when you're capable and valuable and talented, is because of your ADHD. There's a big difference between what you're capable of and what you're achieving right now. And that's because you just need a little extra support. Sometimes you need to work in ways that neurotypical brains don't, because you face challenges that neurotypical brains don't. And just because the obstacles that you're running up against are invisible doesn't mean that they're not real. Yes, you can get by without the help, but it's a lot harder and you're going to struggle a lot longer and your self-esteem is going to take an enormous hit. So ask for the help you need. Go get those accommodations. Take your medicine. Don't worry about what other people think, because it's really hard for people to understand what it's like to have ADHD. It's really hard for them to understand the very real struggles that we face. And so it's easy to let other people's dismissiveness make us dismissive of our own challenges. But you know what you're going through. And you know that you need help. And it's okay to ask for it.
Kids struggling with a mental health or learning disorder need a place to turn. Please give to the Childline Institute.
Yeah, okay, so just, you know, someone's thoughts about ADHD and how they see it. I'm just looking at the chat as I'm going along. Nick, if there is anything that you want any support with or any help with, then just let me know. I'm guessing perhaps, you know, as you've mentioned, perhaps other health comorbidities maybe that stop you from having the medication, but yeah, just let me know. So this slide, this one and the next slide, just slightly touches on ADHD. I'm not sure if anybody has heard of ADHD or is familiar with that term. It isn't a medical term. I think it's just a term that people have come up with if they have a dual diagnosis of autism and ADHD. And research before 2013 only studied autism and ADHD in isolation. And this means that studies on autistic individuals may be skewed by the fact that many, potentially up to 80% of study participants, could also have ADHD without knowing. And how confident we can be in older autism research as well. Individuals who received a formal diagnosis prior to the year 2013 may only have one diagnosis, even though they fit both the diagnostic criteria for both. There are, you know, a whole bunch of autistics and ADHDers who are missing out on potential support and understanding because of a misdiagnosis. Many ADHDers are individualised because they don't fall into a stereotypical presentation of either autism or ADHD. Like I say, it's a colloquial and formal term. It's not an official diagnosis. Some people who have both, that's what they tend to refer to themselves. Yeah, I suspect me as ASD has made the ADHD hard to spot. Yeah, a dual diagnosis there, yeah. Yeah, and I know more and more now, it is mainly private providers, are doing a dual assessment as well, so assessing for both ADHD and autism at the same time. I do work with both teams, the adult ADHD team and the ageless autism team. And a lot of the time we are referring from one team to the other to get those separate assessments, and it seems sometimes a bit of a waste of NHS money, really, when you probably could just have it all done in one if you suspect both. So just some contradictions you may experience as an ADHDer. You thrive then when there's a set routine, so that's an autistic trait, but you struggle to plan and follow a schedule, which is your ADHD trait. You get very distressed when your friend shows up late to a meeting, which is autistic trait. But you yourself struggle to arrive at events on time, which is the ADHD trait. You find engaging in a special interest to be soothing, which is an autistic trait, but you also need to jump between multiple interests to keep you engaged. And that's your ADHD trait. And then there's just a couple of others there, examples that you may experience as an ADHD. We will have a quick break now. And again, there's just your animal fact there about penguins. Are we okay to come back? If we have a 10-minute break, we'll come back at 5:00. So yeah, I'll turn the camera and my mic off now, and then I'll come back on at 5:00. Okay, see you in 10.
He's a squirrel. He's such a fucking dog. Come on, squib. Come on, squib. There are my paws. That's right. See if we can do this. Let's find the original template first. Even that might work. of anywhere.
Right then, guys, we'll make it start. Well, we can see that we've been having the conversation through the break as well. That's good.
Took 10 minutes, didn't you?
After the session, I will try and read through some of these as well, so I can make sure I'm not missing anything that anybody needs me to know. So this slide's just about adjusting to a diagnosis again. I'm not sure whether this was explained to you. I know that we've had a comment about, perhaps feeling that once diagnosed, there was nothing else available or, nowhere else to turn to. And, unfortunately, the service is primarily an assessment and diagnosis pathway. Not having that sort of post-diagnostic can be quite difficult, and it can feel a bit like you've been left to fend for yourself, really, and find out information yourself. I was only employed by the team in July last year, so it's quite new. Post-diagnostic stuff is, but hopefully we are getting better as a team. So yeah, so hopefully you have a bit of time to look at that diagram there. So
I've got one more week.
Yeah,
like
can be a bit of a
boring
repetitive time where you might feel up and down, a bit of shock, some denial, frustration, maybe some depression in there as well. Experiment as well, different with different ideas, different tools, different strategies, some decision making, learning how to work in a new situation, feeling more positive, and then some integration, so changes integrated sort of established in your routines. There's an after session video there, which you can either watch once I send out the slides, or unless you want to take down the that. So, just some thoughts based on some personal experiences that we've had. It's important to realise that it's okay to feel conflicted, to feel like an imposter, and or to feel uncertain in your identity. It's also important that you talk about these feelings, explore them with others of similar experiences, or with your team, your friends and your family, or people who are accepting and feel safe to you. It's okay to reject the diagnosis altogether if you don't feel it fits your experiences. Support can still be provided to address ongoing difficulties, or perhaps you are just happy living your life. Either way, the rest of this workshop might still be useful. Some really important advice is, do not fall into the trap of reimagining what life would have been like if you'd been diagnosed earlier. You've no guarantee that life would have been any better. Depends on your circumstances and how people viewed and managed ADHD at the time. It might have been worse. We often see people diagnosed early in life that continue to have poor outcomes and are still under mental health services well into their adult lives. So that's probably something to take away from today. Try not to imagine what life could have been if you were diagnosed early. Avoid the trap of believing that having a neurodevelopmental condition explains every difficulty encountered, past and present. This can really limit people accessing appropriate support or solutions. It can also conflate everyday difficulties and challenges into being more worrisome and the time consuming that they need than they need to be. Focus on what you want or need to do in your situation and improve moving forward. So just some experiences there, feedback that we've had. This will be in your workbook, and again, apologies for not getting it out to you before the session. It will come out tomorrow morning. So this is just an example of one of the workbook activities, which we call a neurodiversity constellation. It just shows that not everybody will be the same. Everybody's constellation will be different. So useful things to reflect on. Thinking about your identity can be difficult, so here are some pointers to get started. Now try to think about what is important to you. What do you like or dislike? What are your interests or hobbies? What do you admire in others? What we admire in others usually say something about our values. So we might admire that our friend is kind. And that means we value kindness. And again, some later sessions, we look at reflection quite a bit. And looking back on, things that might have gone wrong or things that you might want to change. Reflection can be quite a big part of overcoming some of the difficulties and some barriers that you might face. It's a bit of an optional resource. You might find it easier to complete your constellation with a list of common traits, values and social roles to use as a reference. So, just going back to the questions of what's important to you, what do you like or dislike, and what are your interests. Those are just some examples there that you might use if you can't think of anything. It's one of those questions, isn't it? In a job interview, what are your strengths? Nobody likes answering that question. Nobody likes really talking about themselves or can't then think of what their strengths are. Sometimes that can be difficult. And again, you'll find this in your workbook, again, just a bit of a spectrum where you can sort of place your identity, things that you might find difficult, things that you might understand better, some of your strengths and your difficulties. Okay, just got another video here.
Have you heard stories about inspiring autistics, ADHDers, or disabled folks who overcame their challenges or achieved great success? While they might sound positive, these stories can create unrealistic expectations. They paint neurodivergent and disabled folks as having to constantly prove their worth by exceeding expectations. But sometimes just surviving and taking care of yourself is enough. We're not here to inspire people. We're here to live our lives. Our stories are valid without needing to be inspiring.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so that's a video like it. If like you remember, if you're at school or wherever, or you'll see different posters of people who have overcome lots of different challenges, I know in my school it's quite like lots of famous people who were dyslexic and still managed to achieve and they still managed to become, famous and have good jobs and earn good money and things. But yeah, so that's just a video to sort of note that, you don't owe it, it's your own life, it's, it's your story. ADHD isn't something to be overcome. You're valid regardless of that. And a lot of notable neurodivergent people may be unrelatable. Not everyone is a genius. Not everyone is super successful. And you don't have to be. So that video there is just pointing out, if you're getting up in the morning, then that's great. You don't have to be like somebody else. You don't have to inspire somebody else. You're living your own sort of life, your own pathway. So that's sort of the end of the slide. So in summary, we've covered neurodiversity and what it means to be neurodivergent. Explore the definition of ADHD. Discussed ADHD identity, strengths and challenges. And then obviously got the workbook activities there to have a look at as well to support what we've done today. So any questions? Any thoughts on what we've discussed, or is there anything you need clarifying, or just anything in general that you want to ask? Feel free to either unmute yourself or pop pop anything in the chat. Yeah, and again, Martin, that's like, that's where everybody's different, isn't it? Sometimes people like doing that, and yeah, like yourself, you know, that's something that you find positive. Yeah, thanks, Nick. Yeah, and hopefully, you know, along the way, you will pick up on other lots of other strategies. You know, there's times where we talk about things that you might not have realised that's what a symptom is or that's what that is. So we talk about interoception, you know, the feeling of not being able to recognise when you're hungry. You know, we talk about those different things. You might think, oh, well, oh, I've experienced this, but I don't know what it actually is. And then we're able to perhaps give it a name. Yeah, and I've noticed that along the way, you know, throughout the last hour, the interaction on the chat's been really good, and hopefully, you know, you're getting things from that, you're getting that validation from the chat, and again, that not feeling alone. Oh, have you got there, Maddie?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Everybody's talking, he needs to see.
My dog's normally my shadow, but yeah, I've locked him out because I know when there's people in the house or when it's, you know, food time, you can smell it and he's in and out. So yeah, he's been locked out. So yeah, I mean, there is a bit of time to spare if anybody wants to chat about anything else. Right, Kate, okay, yeah. So mental health team are things like it is community mental health teams, the MHTs, that if you are struggling, you'd be referred to one of those. We've also got the Wellbeing College, if there's anything that you know, support you need. Something, a service called Talking Therapies, I'm not sure if anyone's been involved with them. Some people find them useful, some people don't. I think therapy is hard. It's a hard thing to do. And it's finding the right therapy sometimes as well, which can be a challenge. But, you know, positive experiences from talking therapies and, you know, again, sometimes not so positive. Kelly, do you want to come on?
I was wondering, like, what is the criteria for accessing a CMHT or whatever you said it was called? Because, like, I think depression, anxiety, and all the other comorbidities are a massive part of having ADHD. And it's like, how do you know how bad you are to warrant being under a CMHT, or do you just plod along and hope for the best, or, you know?
Yeah, it'd be a referral through your GP, generally, or sometimes if you are in crisis team, then might sort of refer you to a CMHT.
So it's not something that the adult ADHD team could refer you to?
Not as I believe, so no. Let me check. I'll check that one out for you, Callie, actually.
I could actually share my experience of this because I actually went through this labyrinth, if you like.
Yeah.
So basically, I was in a situation where I'd been diagnosed with ADHD, but I'd got a private diagnosis and nobody would do anything with that. It was completely no share care, nothing. I was entirely funding it myself. And I ended up on sertraline as well, which is a basic SSRI antidepressant. And I ended up in a situation where everything had got really, really bad. And I think the Lisdex amphetamine was kind of like, and the sertraline together were making things worse, ironically. I ended up in a situation where I see my GP to get an increase in sertraline, but that was actually making things worse. I then ended up seeing crisis. I spoke to them first, and they asked me to go in and speak to somebody. Then they came out to the house, and I was kind of bounced around a bit, but then I actually simultaneously referred to the CMHT by the GP and by crisis. So I went to the CMHT and I explained the issues I got and how it was to do with this antidepressant, and it was partly to do with the interacting with the medication in a bad way. And they kind of bounced me off to the adult ADHD. I then did the QB test and redid the diagnosis, but things were still getting worse. And they then ended up being bouncing back to the CMHT, where I sort of have been since, essentially. It was secondary care, seeing about something which is not straightforward to access. But the ways I landed there with the both GP and through crisis, but it really had to get to a stage where it was seen as quite serious before that happened.
Yeah, and that's the disappointing thing, isn't it? You know, in order to get support, things have to be really bad, or you know, you have to be at that crisis point.
Yeah, but it's really, you know, it's a really resourced low resource, high demand service. And even I actually ended up at the Heartland over Christmas, and it wasn't horrific, but it was like there the project to improve it had taken a 24 bed ward down to a 16 bed ward because they wanted to put on suites and things, and you can think, yes, it's better, but it means there's going to be less places there. And yeah. I think that's the same throughout the whole thing. I kept being told that psychologists are on maternity leave, psychiatrists on leave, there's only one such and such for this area. It just feels like it's an area in the NHS that needs more staff.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we're experiencing the same on our team. We are a really small team. You know, we've got one consultant, one nurse prescriber. I'm an occupational therapist on the team, but I only do 2 days a week. I agree, Martin, it does need more, it needs more funding, it needs more input, definitely. And then when you think about how, you know, the demand was probably there already, and they've gone from, you know, they've cut the beds, got less beds there now just to, you know, make it better, just put, you know, lick a paint on or, you know, something like that. It is quite... It's not very good, is it? Does that answer your question, Callie?
Yeah, it does. I just find it, I think, sorry, was it Martin? He hit the nail on the head, he used the word labyrinth, and that is entirely what it feels like sometimes. Like, oh, so one day you can go through this door, but the other day, no, it doesn't work, and like, it's just like, what the hell? The left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. We're supposed to be all like moving with the times of mental health, and like everybody's talking about ADHD. Oh, everybody's got ADHD, but where's the services then? You know, why are we seeing people in the chat who are really struggling? And it just is very frustrating, really. This is great, Vicky, what you're doing, and I am grateful for the team. I nominated the team for a Reach Award last year, and they got shortlisted.
Oh yeah.
They are. I know it's a small team and I know everybody works really hard. There's just like, it's like a massive, it's like Mount Everest, isn't it? And
yeah, it certainly is.
And everybody's individual. Like, we've got people here talking about menopause as well. Yeah, join the club. Like, absolutely. I'd love to know more about that. There's so many other things as well. It's a bit of a minefield, isn't it?
It definitely is, yeah. And please watch this space. I've been along, because ideally I would like to get something up and running where we're face to face, we're in a room with each other, where it is more of a social thing, not, you know, not somebody talking at you and giving different strategies and advice and whatnot. I would like more of a social thing where people can be in a room together and talk about their own experiences and talk about their difficulties and, you know, what's helped them, which then could help somebody else. And I went along to a group, it was called Diverse Minds. I went along to that, which had been run, it is through a GP again, but yeah, it's something that they've got up and running, but it's only open to Leek, Biddulph and Cheadle at the moment. They were a pilot, so they're hoping to get that, you know, across other communities as well. But it is something that I would like to get up and running as well. And again, sometimes it can be difficult because, you know, generally speaking, I work 9 to 5. And again, a lot of people here are of working age. You know, you might have jobs that you have to go to during the day, other commitments, children and whatnot. So it can be really difficult to sort of put it at the right time as well. You know, so fingers crossed, we are getting better and we are getting other things up and running. Part of this workshop will hopefully signpost you to different things that are available and support that is out there as well. So yeah. Sorry guys, I'm missing a bit of the chat. Yeah, life works. Yeah, that's another one great there. LifeWorks is a great service. I know the coaching service, you do have to pay for that then. But there are some things that they can support with for free. Again, it's just a charity-based service based in Newcastle Martin where, again, they just help with all different stuff, all different things. They are themselves are a neurodiverse team. And they just support with many, many different things. I'll try and find a leaflet for you, Martin, and get that sent out with the slides tomorrow. I know I've got one somewhere. Yeah, I think they charge about, I think it might be £30-35 an hour maybe for their coaching sessions. Yeah, thanks for that, Jenny. Yeah. I think there was a comment David made. Can't see it. A peer recovery group. What? Can you give me more information on that, David? Or is it a bit like what I've just been talking about with the Diverse Minds? Oh, sorry, go on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think it is kind of like what you were talking about, but with changes, they run basically mental health peer support groups throughout Stoke and Staffordshire, where anybody can drop in for mental health support. But essentially, what it is like mentally, not, I don't want to say unwell, but, you know, people helping other people with, like, strategies and sharing experiences and all that kind of stuff. So it would just be like, I don't want to call it a hangout, but it would just be like a group where you could say, I'm struggling with this part of my ADHD this week. And then you'd set a goal to try and sort it by the following week and then get support from other people in the group. Something like that would be appropriate.
That was a bit like what the Diverse Minds was. It was a 2-hour session. The first hour was sort of education, advice. And then the second hour was just, let's have a brew. Let's chat to the person next to me or, you know, even across the room. It was really good seeing everybody interact with each other. It was quite a full group as well.
Yeah. Just a thought anyway.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree, David. It is something that's needed. And I suppose it's one of those, isn't it? If somebody, because I was asking the question, is how, like, how are so many people attending this group? And one lady did say to him, she says, well, it's because I want to, it's because it's what I need. And again, another person said, this group is the one thing that they live for each week because they know they can come, get everything off the chest, sort of talk different things through with people that are experiencing the same thing as them. And then that's that validation for people as well. So yeah, hopefully we'll try and get something up and running. But as you know, with the NHS, we have to find somewhere that's free. That can be a challenge at times as well. Managed the access to work grants. Yeah, we've got those as well that are available for support. Is it £30, is it, Jenny? Yeah. Oh, that's not great, is it, Lisa? 15 months and then reapply. Interesting point there, Kate, about ADHD not being a mental health disorder, it's a neurodevelopmental. And that is something very much that our service lead, our service manager, she wanted to get that point across that, you know, we weren't a mental health team, we were a neurodiverse team. And we shouldn't really sit under the mental health sort of bracket. Very much in agreement with that, Kate. Yeah. Yeah, and those generic mental health support groups that might not work. And this is what I was talking about with therapy as well. Sometimes you might have been referred to therapy, CBT, you know, and you've just thought this isn't working. The questions aren't right. The questions aren't being asked right. Or, you know, they're not direct enough for you. And then that's where people struggle then with therapy. And, you know, most of the time, if we've had one bad experience, we're not willing to then try it again, are we? Your rejection sensitivity, I think I've just seen. Yeah, we do touch on that. I was like, yeah, David, Hope, yeah, we do touch on that. Just interested there, Nick, with your comment, talking therapies, who found you this workshop. This workshop is only open to people who were on our pathway. I'm not sure how they cross it. Yeah, exactly, Martin. Sorry, I've not seen your comment about, yeah, standard CBT might not suit ADHD, ASD as yet. Yeah, some very interesting comments there, guys, in the chat. I've not had a chance to read all of them. Very interesting. And I'm glad you're all interacting and talking to each other that way. Unfortunately, because, you know, like I say, it would be nice to have those conversations, you know, rather than typing them out. And hopefully, like I say, we'll get something up and running to do that kind of thing. If any of the other sessions don't run for the hour and a half, you know, we can chat about different things like we have done tonight as well. So yeah, guys, so what I'll do tomorrow morning is I will send out the PowerPoints. What I have been told to do is send out a PDF version. But with a PDF version, you don't get the like the notes, like the script, what I've been talking from. So I am going to send out the PowerPoints because I think they're valuable as well to get those notes. And then again, if there's anything that I've said that you might not think, oh, I don't quite understand that, or I've not quite caught what she said there, you've then got those as well. Send out the PowerPoints. I'll try and find a LifeWorks leaflet. Was there anything else I said? Oh, the workbook. Yeah, so that's what I'll do, guys. And then Monday morning, I'm not working. But Monday afternoon, I will get the invite to the next session sent out. I hope that's worked for everybody, receiving it on the Monday, but then obviously I will send out the reminder on the Thursday morning as well, just as a bit of a prompt. I know we can forget things easily. So yeah, next week we'll look at goal setting and problem solving, and see if we can come up with any strategies with that, if anybody has any difficulties with that. Anybody's using anything already that's been beneficial, that's been good for them, again, please bring that along and share it with anybody else. So yeah, thanks for attending, guys, and see you next week.
Mm-hmm.